Guys, on this episode, we sit down with Jim Kloppman, author of Balance is Power, a book you can purchase on Amazon at your local bookstore. A book also that focuses on one of the 10 general characteristics of fitness that we focus on in CrossFit, but oftentimes gets pushed to the back burner. And that characteristic is balance. So Jim is going to tell us how balance is helping athletes of all ages and backgrounds improve their fitness.
All right, so Jim, again, thanks for coming on with us. We were excited to hear about your story, how you've used fitness to kind of overcome some early obstacles in your life. Maybe you could just give us the rundown on kind of what your experience was and how you came to the spot you're at now.
Well, you know, I've been, an athlete my whole life, but I just found out I'm age 64, so I think it was age 58 I discovered that, you know, I've had this lifelong brain damage I didn't know about. Of course, I knew about some of the results of it in terms of behavior, but it explained a lot in terms of severe ADD and dyslexia. But when I was a kid, I was always playing sports and challenging my balance. I got kicked out of a couple of schools, and therefore, because of that, I started lettering in sports when I was in ninth grade, and I finished up high school lettering in five different sports and being all county, all tri-state, things like that in different sports. So to me, sports has just always been a huge part of my life. But I finally kind of discovered that it was the balance and athleticism part of it that I like. So for me, my mind is quiet when I'm skiing at 60 miles an hour. It's what puts me in that zone. My mind is quiet when I have a 250-pound lineman chasing me down. My mind's quiet for some reason at that point in time. If I have to sit around, it's just going crazy the whole time. But somewhere in my 50s, I discovered that, you know, why do athletes age out? And you guys see it yourself in yourselves and in your clients. You know, there's so many guys in their 40s, 50s, and 60s now that are as strong as they were in their 30s. And if they play a sport, they're not losing their skills. They should be getting better, right? The more you do something, the better you should get. So what was the component that they were losing? And I think I discovered what it is. It's balance. We've taken many athletes who are past the age of 40 and kind of revitalized them back to a more youthful stage in terms of their performance. You know, you guys do such a great job with the fitness and strength aspect, and we just come in and teach people how to balance differently and improve their athleticism. And the crazy thing about what we do is we're not changing anything in terms of building muscle, building skills. We're just reactivating a software system that's kind of gone to sleep over time.
So you're not talking about balance. You're not talking about balance in the way that I was thinking of, like a work-life balance. You're actually talking about the neurological ability to be balanced.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So
yeah.
So then maybe tell us a little more about that. Like, and you were saying what we do. Who's we?
Well, we is me and my, you know, my partner, Janet Miller. So there's me, and then we've got a couple of certified gyms throughout the country. We created this protocol, written a book, Balance is Power, and have, you know, several pieces of patented equipment we've developed to improve people's balance. And the outcome of that is you just have to understand this one premise. And, you know, like I said before, I was geeking out on CrossFit, and I can give you lots of examples how it's even finding its way into what you guys do. But if you understand this one premise, you understand why it works in practically anything you do in terms of any sport. The balance system is part of the subconscious autonomic system. It's not declared as much in any sort of medical journal, but you can't swing any harder than what your balance system allows. Your body will not allow you to swing hard enough that you're going to fall down. You can't lift any more than what your balance system allows. You could be terribly strong and have all the right form and everything's great, but ultimately your balance system is going to say, I can't let you lift any more than what I'm going to allow you to do. Because if you do, you fall and stumble and get hurt. So in just about every sport, you can't run and cut any faster than your balance system allows. If you go over that limit, you're going to stumble. So your body automatically gears you down. As soon as you improve your balance, suddenly all those things get better. And the crazy thing is, improving your balance, I mean, it's kind of a bad business model for me, to be honest with you. It doesn't take long. We get phenomenal results after 2, 3, 6, 8 hours. And so once you understand that premise and you get a hold of that, you get to see, like I said, even in your amazing sport, that you know, balance is a big part of what you do. And I even think that, you know, if you look at the guy who crushed it last year, Matt Fraser, the difference between 15 and 16 was that somehow, I don't know if he concentrated on balance, but somehow he's dramatically improved his balance. And you can see that in a couple of events that he did well in 15 that he didn't do so well in. I mean, didn't do so well in 15 that he did well in 16.
Jim, I want to kind of cycle back to what you said earlier about how athletes kind of age out because they lose a little bit of that balance.
Right.
Do you have some insight onto why that is, what they're not doing anymore?
Well, this is a good thing for you guys to know as having young kids. We believe there's four components to losing balance as you get older. One is, I created this index because I don't think there's a really good index of what good balance is and isn't. So it's an index of 0 to 100, 50 being average, 20 meaning you need a cane or a walker, 0 meaning you're on your back, you know, 80 being a college athlete, 90 being a pro athlete, 95 being Steph Curry, and 100 being Cirque du Soleil performers.
Yeah, we think Ben's closer to 20.
If I'm lucky.
I mean, you're lucky. But here's the thing. The world we live in is built for 20. It's built for people with canes and walkers. So you're walking around on perfectly flat floors. You know, God forbid you walk down the sidewalk and there's a little crack of a quarter of an inch. There's a whole crew of people out there grinding it down because you might trip and hurt yourself. So just like you would never get stronger if you lifted 5 pounds every day, 10 times, you're not going to keep your balance up if you don't have your balance challenge. So we live in this perfectly flat world. That's one cause of loss of balance. Two, if you look at any of the shoes, the running shoes nowadays, and I know some of the CrossFit shoes are going in the other direction, which is great, but if you look at them, you're just standing around, your toes are up off the ground because you got turned up front of the shoe. Your heel's 4 to 10 centimeters off the ground. That's just a horrible position to be in terms of balance. If you stand there barefoot, your toes are on the ground, engaged and active. Secondarily, the bottom of the foot has hundreds of thousands of receptors. 25% of the bones in your body are in your feet. 25% of the muscles and tendons in your body are in your feet, yet you have them totally inoculated and hidden from any input with the thick, spongy soles. The third component is we live in this rectilinear world. When you're in a house, you've got perfectly flat floors, vertical walls. And then on top of that, to screw yourself up even more, you look at screens all the time, which are perfectly rectilinear, and you end up using this direct central part of your vision. And we found that the peripheral vision is a massive input of information into the athletic system. And once you start to deny that peripheral vision, you'll lose these balance skills and you'll lose athletic skills. And then the fourth component, which doesn't really apply to you guys but applies to older people, is people start wearing progressive glasses or bifocals. And you're basically blocking out that visual input that comes in through the subconscious system into the, you know, what are called the rods of the peripheral vision. And that's blocked because you have those crappy little lenses on the bottom of your glasses. So all those things work to detune the system. So all we're doing is like, well, you may be not old enough to remember this, but you know, if you had those shitty old Microsoft computers that you had to reboot all the time, we're just kind of rebooting the system, and it's freakish how it starts to come back. And then once it starts to come back, people begin to have a focus on it, and they're just coming to go, I can't believe every move I'm making now. I'm thinking about balance and how my balance is being affected and so forth.
So did you just kind of discover like a hidden gem that nobody else is really working on, or is there other people out there doing the same kind of thing, or is...
I can't find anybody doing it, and to be honest with you, I feel like, you know, they say all great ideas go through three stages. You know, everybody tells you it's crazy, everybody tells you it really has no effect, and then the third stage is everybody tells you what a great idea it is. I've run into so much resistance, yet we have results that... I mean, we have golfers. I don't even teach the golf protocol anymore because I've had four golfers. Every one of them, you know, anywhere between 60 and 70 lifelong golfers have ended up shooting the best scores of their life. So, you know, we get those kind of results. Every skier we touch skis better. I haven't worked with anybody in your arena. I've worked with a couple of CrossFitters, and here's the problem, though, is there's a tendency for people to believe that hard work is where it got them. So, you know, I had one guy come in. Have been training him for a while, and he came back and he said he hit PRs and he was like number two in his group, and he's 50 some years old, and he said, I'm doing better than I ever have in CrossFit. And I said, well, I think a lot of that's the balance training you've been doing. He goes, no, I just think all my training's been coming together at one time. So it is a massive secret, and once you do it, you know, an athlete like yourself, you go, ah, I get it. But, you know, a lot of people go, no, it couldn't be this simple. If it was this simple, I would have known about it. You know, you wouldn't be the guy to discover it. You know, I'm going through all that crap right now. But the book has helped. Everybody that's read the book comes back and says, hey, I get it. I appreciate it. And I'm doing it. So.
All right. So, Jim, I have a question kind of to play devil's advocate a little bit here. So when I was a young personal trainer, I went through the standard National Academy of Sports Medicine, you know, training seminar. And they had this pyramid where they start with stability and stuff at the bottom for their deconditioned clients, and you work up to speed and power at the top. And what I saw as a trainer was that people really, really geeked out on the stability stuff and were trying to do like, you know, back squats on Bosu balls or on full physio balls. And they were trying to combine the, you know, the strength, the traditional strength conditioning and power output with stability because, like, you know, more is more. How do you kind of coach kind of with that that trend in balance, but also kind of against people overdoing it?
Well, here's the thing is that we do not do any strength training when we balance train. It's
Love
just
it.
Like if you want to lift the maximal amount of weight, you're not going to do it on a Bosu ball, right?
Right.
If I'm going to push you to your maximal balance level, I'm not going to, you know, put 100 pounds or 200 pounds over your head in a barbell. So we don't ever do that. You know, the other thing is we're real conscious of the athletic position. So nothing's done on the heel. You know, the biggest, most active part of the foot is the front inside quadrant. The big toe is the big toe for a reason. The heel has no muscles in it. The outside of the foot has no muscles in it. They're really just kind of like stability platforms to be there if you need them. All athletic work is done on the inside front quadrant of the foot. So if you cut, you run, you hit a golf ball, you turn, it's all being worked off that front part of the foot. So we work from there. We also only work pretty much, although we do some two-legged stuff, we do everything, you know, one-legged. Because most everything you do athletically, you're on one foot or the other. Your sport, different. You're on 2 feet a lot. But most sports, you're moving from one foot to the other. So we never ever do that. We never have somebody kick a leg in front, do a pistol squat, because you're back on a heel. And, you know, just like in boxing, when you say you're on your heels, you're on your heels. You know, you're kind of out of position at that point in time. We don't want you on your heels. We want you on your forefoot. We do use kettlebells, but we use them at the end of a maximal balance challenge, and we only use it ipsilateral. We only use it on one side. So the idea of picking up a 25 kettlebell when you're on balancing on one foot is it's going to destabilize you even more. And then you have to work to move your whole body to kind of stabilize yourself as you're picking that up. But that's not a function of strength. That's a, you know, what we're not trying to make you stronger there. We're just trying to challenge your balance that much more. So I agree with you. I mean, I think combining the two, strength and balance, is a really bad idea. And I think it's hugely dangerous too. And, you know, you see these, I don't know, I don't want to upset any of your audience, but these knuckleheads standing on Swiss balls with barbells above them head, their head.
They're no, just you can make those guys mad. We're cool with that.
Okay. I mean, that's just like, hey, you get a blowout in the Swiss ball, you're in deep doo-doo. Anybody standing within 5 feet of you, you're going to be tossing a dumbbell on them. I mean, it's just a horrible thing to do. So anything on a Bosu ball, Swiss ball, that type of thing, and you're trying to lift weights is nowhere near anything that we'll do.
So if you let's say are most of your clientele then older at this point? Are you getting people who are younger that you're working with and trying to get to them before they lose their balance? I mean,
yeah, we get them at all ages. We have them as young as 12 and all at 70. And you're right. There's kind of a thinking that, oh, you know, old person needs balance training. In fact, one of the difficult client groups that we work with are the between 40 and 50 year old guys that come in there because they think they're all that.
They know everything. They know everything.
You know these guys. Well, what doubly pisses them off is they come in and they think they can balance well, and, you know, some 64-year-old guy's kicking their butt, and they're like, I don't see him a second time. They want to hear that they're great. They don't want to improve. So we operate with all levels. We also, you know, a little business has kind of popped up, I guess, I don't know, by luck, but we feel like we know what we do helps people recover from post-concussive syndrome very rapidly. So we'll have clients come in that have tried everything else to get rid of their symptoms from concussions, and they end up getting better doing these balance challenges. Now, the output of that is, one, if most of the time they're young athletes, afterwards they become a better athlete, so they become better at their sport. But two, they're less likely to have another concussion, because I think concussions are repeated. You'll see people have concussions like year in and year out. It's because the system never got fully integrated again. And when you fall, you know, the first thing you should do when you fall is protect your head. So if you're falling and you're not protecting your head, you're not at your maximal athletic ability at that point in time, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, Jim, talk to us a little bit about the book. So it is pretty successful. It's out there. It's the only thing that we can find, you know, in our research that's targeting what you're targeting.
Right.
What type of a challenge was that for you to write? And, you know, are you pretty proud of the results?
It's a major challenge. You know, this is a kid who, I mean, I eventually got an MBA from Duke, but I, you know, flunked 8th grade 2 years in a row. I flunked 9th grade. I flunked every spelling test you could imagine. But, you know, I got through it pretty well, and I also ended up working with Tucker Max's group at Book in a Box. And I can't, you know, I know you're not supposed to promote on these programs, but they were very, very helpful in terms of helping me get my ideas down on a piece of paper and get it out. You know, I just wanted to put out there a tool to get the message out there that, you know, in your business, one of the things we find that when you improve your balance, and this goes back to what you guys do, is the kinetic chain improves. And, you know, as much as your work is about strength and endurance, to get that weight up and above your head is the more precise and organized your kinetic chain is, the better that becomes, the easier that becomes. So we find that when people improve their balance, their kinetic chain improves. And then they can swing harder. They can hit harder. They can, you know, we have shooters and archers that come train with us. They end up shooting better than they ever had in their life. Same thing with archery. So these results are almost bizarre, and it's even hard for me to believe, and I didn't see it at all when I started this, but we talk about each of those things and why balance affects them positively and, you know, hopefully in a language that people can easily understand. There's no Latin in the book.
You just reminded me of another question I wanted to ask when you talked about the kinetic chain. We deal with a lot of people in our business that have mobility limitations.
Right.
Either at the muscular level or even the structural level with the joints.
Right.
How do you find that impacts their ability to maximize their balance?
Well, we get those too. You know, one of the things that, and again, what you do in CrossFit, there's a lot of, you know, bilateral movement, both sides at the same time. And, you know, I think that's fine for building strength and certain things that you want to do. But when you come to mobility, everything's ipsilateral. So your left foot's moving forward as your right hand moves forward. So we actually will get clients that, you know, we'll work with MS clients, and they have real sort of neurological organization problems. And, you know, I take them and kind of like have to teach them how to walk with poles and how to move in an ipsilateral motion. I don't know if you know about all the work that's being done with Parkinson's disease and boxing.
No, I haven't heard about that.
Pardon me?
I've not heard about that.
Yeah, I mean, fabulous success. It was discovered by a you know, some trainer in an old folks home several years ago, and of course now the academia is taking it over and they're telling everybody their great idea. But the thinking on it is that they just stand in front of a heavy bag, and it's just sort of funny to watch them when they first do it. These are people that can't talk. And before you know it, after a couple of weeks, they're talking, they're moving, they start in their wheelchair sometimes, they're now hitting speed bags. And everything that they're doing, and I think that what they don't know why it's working, they're trying to study this, but I'm sitting here doing it in front of my microphone, they're crossing the center line when they punch that bag.
Yeah, Blair was just doing the exact same thing. He's sitting here.
Pardon me?
Blair was just doing the exact same thing as you mentioned that.
Anyways, so they're crossing the center line. Every time you cross the center line, when I punch to the left, my body rotates. I load my right leg. You know, I kind of unload my left leg. There's a bending of the right leg, a straightening of the left leg. You know, and it's kind of like this whole body crossing motion. And the success that they're having with that is wonderful. So we have what we call a 5-minute neurological reset. And we'll have it happen with clients. They'll come in and watched the news, or, you know, sometimes guys will come from the weight room and they're still stuck in that, you know, two-arm movement pattern. And then to break them out of it, we just take them through this neurological reset. And then suddenly they're starting to move better and they can walk better and they can balance better, so forth and so on. But it is I mean, we have some of those people who are a challenge, but we progress slowly. We use one foot. We teach them how to use their eyes. The older folks, we have them take off their glasses. Like, I can't see. Well, I know you can't see, but as soon as you take away that little thing underneath your lens that lets you read books, they can balance better because the peripheral vision brings in so much data and it doesn't need a pair of glasses to see.
So in our sport, you know, you mentioned you've been geeking out on it for the last few weeks and kind of seeing what we do. You know, there are definitely some, I don't want to say limitations, but there are certain areas in the area of balance that we have not incorporated into our sport yet. Is there certain tests that you think that we should be doing, even at the competitive level, or do you feel like most of the balance training that we should be doing should be done in the gym, and then we should still be going out onto the, you know, competitive floor with the tools we developed there?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. So the answer is yes to both. I mean, I think if you look at the games at 16, you know, Matt Frazier kicked everybody's ass in the trail run, and that is a massive balance challenge. You know, he was moving so fluidly through that, and you could see through his upper body movement and his foot placement and so forth that he was a game above everybody else in terms of what he was doing there, right? So I looked at that as I'm going through. That's the first thing I looked at, and I said, huge balance challenge. That guy killed it. I didn't even know when I was watching the videos that he went on to win, but I would have picked him to the winner to be early on. So if you took everything, all things being equal, same strength, same endurance, the better balanced athlete's going to win. Hands down. Now, as I continue to watch, Matt went and placed second in the sprints, and I watched him cut around the pylons, and I said, that's pretty athletic how he's cutting around those pylons. Now, he placed second, and number one placed first in one of the other groups. I think if that number one was in the same group with Matt, Matt would have beaten him. So I thought, wow, let's go look at Matt in 15 and see what the difference is. And Matt in 15... I have to look at my notes here. In the sprints, he placed 24th and 37th. That's not – you can't sprint for a year and get that much better, right?
Right.
That's impossible. What did he do? I know from balance training, if you balance train, you can get that much better. Now, trying to find – which you guys are, I think, any good competitor would do. You don't want to show everything you do. But I found one picture of Matt working with a heavy single kettlebell. Well, heavy single kettlebells are a balance challenge. You know, when you've got to move that thing up and around and over your head on one side, you're really forcing yourself to balance on that one foot and keep that weight above your head. Your left arm becomes, let's say, the ballast if you've got the weight in your right arm. So I don't know what he was doing, but I can tell you this much. To go from 24th and 32nd, 7th to, you know, almost first in the sprints, it wasn't just strength and speed work he was doing. So to me, you watch a guy like that, balance was a big component of what he did. Now, your question, I don't think you should put slack lines up and have guys walking on slack lines. That's kind of unfair. You know, we have some protocols, and I'll show you, I'll send you a video and show you some of them, but maybe they might be interesting. I don't know. But, you know, something more athletic would be fun to see. But I'll tell you right now, that trail run was hugely athletic. It was amazing.
Jim, last question, and we'll let you get out of here. For our day-to-day average Joe clients,
right?
What is your top one or two kind of balance exercises that they can do, that they can incorporate to make them just overall kind of better humans?
Well, I mean, the first thing is if you just – I mean, a fun one for me to do is just take a, you know, 20-pound kettlebell, get on one foot, and put it, you know, like 2 feet foot lengths in front of you, bend over and pick it up, and then put it out another 6 inches and pick it up, another 6 inches and put it up. Well, you can't bend over and pick it up. You have to bend your knee down and go into a super low squat with your off-the-ground leg kind of balance behind you as some sort of fulcrum balance tool to reach out and get that kettlebell. And that's a massive balance challenge. You have to use the inside forward part of your foot. And, you know, when you start getting it out there far enough, it's exhausting. And I think, too, that anytime you can do some sort of crossover work, you know, I don't know what you call it, but when you take the cables like a crossover fly and you're moving the weights from side to side, you really have to get down into an athletic position because your legs and arms have to be engaged kind of in some sort of organized pattern. And if they're not, you can't do it.
Wow.
That actually sounds hard. I'm trying to picture myself trying to do that right now, and I'm, oh boy, you give cramp my foot.
Right. Yeah. A lot of work.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
I mean, that's the thing. We have, you know, fabulously fit athletes that come in, and all we're doing is activating every small muscle in your body at one time. So they come in and they're just kind of shocked that they feel like they're not doing anything. And oftentimes they'll go, I've been doing this for 30 seconds and I'm sweating. Why is this? I haven't done anything. And it's not because we're operating the big muscles. We're operating every little tiny muscle in your body at one time.
Right. Well, Jim, this opened my eyes to a whole another realm out there of training. I know that balance is an aspect of fitness. It is one of the, you know, core characteristics of fitness. If people want to kind of learn more about this topic and they want to, you know, learn more about what you're doing, how can they do that?
Well, I mean, the best thing to do is just go to slackbow.com. You know, pick around there. You can see things. There's a book or there's some products that we have. You know, I don't care if you buy our products or not. Just as long as you start to, you know, I think the first thing you do is once you just get it in your head about balance, you'll be thinking about it all the time. And if just people do that, I'll be happy with that. But we're at slackbow.com.
I'm going to go on Amazon and buy Ben this book so we can get him from a 20 up to at least an 80.
That's cruel.
hey, Jim, thanks again for being here, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, same here. Thank you. See you guys.
All right.